So let me start by stating the absolutely obvious that without mothers, none of us would be here. For mothers cooperate in generating life. They give birth to us. Mothers help to nurture us physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. Mothers have a central role in guiding our development and helping us to become, hopefully, mature and maybe well-adjusted adults. Of all the biblical writers in the Old Testament, the one that had an understanding of God's maternal heart was the prophet Isaiah. There are numerous places in the 66 chapters of his wonderful prophecy where we have maternal language. Listen to these beautiful words from the 49th chapter. Can a mother forget her baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Now, this question has one answer. No, that's not possible. But listen to what it goes on to say. Though she may forget, even though the unimaginable may happen, the Lord says, I will not forget. And so here we have this image of the Lord being like a mother caring for, nursing for her child. And the very next verse of this passage from chapter 49 has one of my favorite verses in all of Isaiah, where it says, see, I have engraved you, on the palm of my hands. What does that anticipate? Of course, it anticipates the cross. And in our reading from Galatians, Paul says, I have the marks of the cross in my body. But here in Isaiah, this idea that God loves us, that he writes our names, his kids' names, in the palm of his hand, so the hand can be close to his heart. Do you see what this imagery is trying to convey to us? Something of the very nature of our God is one who could best be described as having a tender maternal heart. Have you ever thought about God that way? Have you ever thought about God having the heart of a tender maternal mother? Isaiah returns to this theme in the very last chapter of his book. And the reading that we had that Frank read to us this afternoon is from the very last chapter of the prophet Isaiah. And here we have this beautiful way in which the city of Jerusalem is described as being a mother. And what I'd like to do is quote a few of the verses again from a translation that's a little bit different from the one we heard read from, and it tries to capture something of the maternal nature of God. Listen to these words. Rejoice, Jerusalem, and all who love her, celebrate. Join in the happy singing. You newborns can satisfy yourselves at her nurturing breast. Yes, delight yourself and drink your fill from her ample bosom. Did you know that was in the Bible? These are God's words. And it speaks about God's maternal love being such that it is filled with this generous, nurturing, tender love. But listen to the next bit. I love this. You'll nurse at her breasts, nestle in her bosom, and be bounced on her knee. Can't you picture that? A little baby who's just nursed with mom and now is fully actually awake and sitting on the knee and gurgling and goggling. Well, maybe not giggling, goggling, gurgling, whatever. You know what I mean. But there's that kind of just that playful exuberance that the look on the baby's face is one that just the eyes are bright. I am so happy. That's the imagery here. That God is wanting us to see that he likes to bounce us on his knees. And then the prophet goes on to say, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. For you see, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, to be the people of God is to be part of a people who have this remarkable book called the Bible that has language like this. You're not going to find this anywhere else in the world. You're never going to hear anywhere else these kinds of depictions as the nature of who God is. It's only here. Why? Because this is God's revealed word. God is the one who has revealed to us through the prophet Isaiah that he has a maternal heart. St. Paul so captured this that he said, you know, it's not circumcision that matters anymore. Yes, that was important in the time of the Jewish dispensation. But whether or not the foreskin of your penis has been circumcised, that doesn't matter anymore. What matters now is being a new creation. A new creation in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So think about that language. To be a new creation is to be born again. To have a new birth. And the church has understood so beautifully that for us who are part of this family, who have this new creation instilled within us, that the church is our mother. And so I want to think with you now for a couple of minutes about how this is so. Well, just as a mother nurtures her children and generates life, so too the church does the same thing through our baptism. Just as water is essential to our physical birth, so the same holds true for our spiritual birth in baptism. On Pentecost Sunday, I had the privilege of baptizing some adults who could not be baptized at the Easter Vigil because they couldn't be here. And although we used the baptismal font for their baptism, each one of them had a full pitcher of water poured on their head. They were wet by the time they were baptized. It's messy. Just like physical birth is messy, in a way, spiritual birth is messy too. But it's also refreshing, this understanding of the waters of baptism that bring us into the new life that is ours in Christ. If any of you have ever been to the city of Rome, perhaps you've been to the church that is the cathedral, and it's not St. Peter's. It's called St. John Lateran. It is the cathedral church of the Bishop of Rome. And right next to the Cathedral of St. John Lateran is this beautiful baptistry, which is one of the oldest buildings in Rome. The baptistry is where, I don't know if they still baptize people there, but that would have been the place you would have gone to be baptized if you were a parishioner of this parish, this cathedral church in Rome. And in the baptistry is this inscription: "Here is born a people of divine lineage, generated by the Holy Spirit, who makes these waters life-giving. Mother Church gives birth to her children within these waves." Isn't that a lovely image? Mother Church gives birth to her children within these waves. Back in 2013, Pope Francis was reflecting on what it means for us to say that we have new life made possible through the church by baptism when he wrote these words. And this is a very Franciscan kind of quote. He has a way with language that I just so appreciate. He says, "The Christian is not an island. We do not become Christians in a laboratory. We do not become Christians alone by our own effort. Since the faith is a gift, it is a gift from God given to us in the church and through the church. And the church gives us the life of faith in baptism. And that is the moment in which she gives birth to us as children of God. The moment she gives us the life of God, she engenders us as a mother." And then he goes on to say, "This makes us understand something important. Our taking part in the church is not an exterior or formal act. It's not filling out a form that they give us. It's an interior and vital act. One does not belong to the church as one belongs to a society, to a party, or to any other organization. The bond is vital, like the bond you have with your mother. Because as St. Augustine said, the church is truly the mother of all Christians." You see what the Pope is saying there? We are not part of a club. We are not part of a society. No, we are an integral part of the family of God. Because through baptism, new life has been made available to us. But here's the second point I'm wanting to make, and it's this. When a mother, in her relationship to us, does not only generate life, but she helps to sustain life, and she helps to encourage us to mature in our spiritual life. Think about it this way. A mother of a two-year-old would ask less of the two-year-old than she would of the six-year-old. And the mother of a 12-year-old would ask more of the 12-year-old, one would hope, than she would ask of the six-year-old. That as we grow older, as we mature, more is asked of us. Once St. Mother Teresa was in conversation with a young man who wanted to do something for Jesus. He wanted to serve Jesus in a very particular way, but he said, "Mother, I am saddened by all of the problems I see in the world." And he expressed his frustration. He said, "I'm only one person, and the world is such a mess." To which Mother Teresa said, "Well, then pick up a broom." Spoken like a mother. Great answer. Pick up a broom. And that is the point. You know, we can look at the world in which we live and say it is such a mess. Or we can take to heart the words that Jesus spoke in today's gospel. There's a really big harvest, but there are very few to go out into the harvest field. And so what does Jesus do? He sends out 70. Why 70? Well, it's a very specific number. You've got to go back to the book of Genesis, to the 11th chapter. You remember in Genesis, there's a story of a kind of a bad rainstorm. It's called the flood. And after the flood, there's a new beginning, a new creation. And by the time we get to the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, we have a genealogy. We don't read the genealogies very often because, man, I can't say those names, and who needs them? But this is a really important genealogy. Do you know why? Because the descendants of Noah equals 70. It's to represent the nations of the world. And so when Jesus sends out 70 to do his work, to go ahead of him, he's saying, "Guys, gals, I want you to share in extending the maternal heart of the church to a world that is so in need of my love." And it's so interesting that he says, when you enter into a house, and if your peace remains there, stay in that house. Don't keep moving from place to place to place. And I think that's very apropos, because if we are the church, and if the church is our mother, we are at home. And of course, what we are invited to do is to discover more and more what it is to live at a time where there is great suspicion of the church for all sorts of reasons. But I think there's something to be said about being able to embody within our life a deepening understanding of what it is to call the church our mother. Because everyone needs a mom. Everyone needs to know that there is maternal care, that there is maternal nurture, that there is that quality of suffering in a particular way that mothers experience. So going back to God writing our names in the palms of his hand, I think there's a way moms, they might not do that literally, but mothers in a particular way carry their children's names in the palm of their hands. Dads, well, maybe, but not to the same extent. But a mother's heart is always beating with that maternal care for her children. To conclude, let me quote Pope Francis once more. "You know what I love," he said? "I love a church that's not closed in on herself, but capable of coming out, of moving, even with risks, to bring Christ to all people. I'm thinking of everyone, of me, of you, of every Christian. We all take part in the motherhood of the church, so that the light of Christ may reach the far confines of the earth." So in conclusion, here's the thing. We're all part of the church. And not only is the church our mother, but we extend the maternal love of the mother by how we live. So may we, on this 14th Sunday of Ordinary Time, reflect on the maternal care that the church wants to extend to each of us, and through us to extend her care to others. For you know what? God delights in us. God delights in us in the way a mother who loves her baby nestles him or her to her breast. bounces the child on her knee and provides that maternal comfort and care. This is what I have heard to be God's word for us this Sunday. May we give thanks for Mother Church.